Welcome, everybody. Today's topic is China sourcing, challenges and solutions. We have a great program for you today, and we're very fortunate to be joined by Chris Kozlik, Head of Engineering and Product Development for New Archery Products. Chris has been a longtime client of Certus and a good friend to us, and we've been working together now for several years, and I want to take this opportunity to thank you, Chris, for all of New Archery's business and let you know how much we appreciate the trust you have in us.
Thank you.
The topic on China, obviously China is a huge player in the global economy. There's over $400 billion in trade with the United States alone. Its economy represents about 14% of the world economy. So it continues to be a major player in global trade. But obviously sourcing from China is not without its challenges. We have what we call operating gaps or operational gaps, which obviously are things like time, the culture, the distance, the physical distance, the language. There's also logistical issues, and then, of course, the big quality question. But before we get into the China discussion, Chris, could you tell us a little bit about New Archery Products?
Sure. New Archery Products is a leading manufacturer of archery accessories. We do not make bows or arrows, but we make accessories that mount to the bows. We're a leading manufacturer of the razor-tipped broadheads you'd use to hunt game with, and other accessories like vanes, which are the plastic feathers on your arrows, arrow rests, vibration dampening stabilizers, and quivers. We've been doing this for about 35 years now as a privately held company.
And how long have you been with the company, Chris?
I started as an engineer here in 1991, so I've been here quite a while.
And I'd say a fully depreciated asset.
Yes.
And how does your engineering background play a role in the design and development of some of the products that you guys develop?
Well, one of the things that is our strong point over here is we're good manufacturing engineers. Myself and a number of my people that I work with all come from the automotive industry, and we've all designed and worked tightly with Tier 1 manufacturing for all kinds of automotive companies like Ford, Delphi, Caterpillar. So we have a lot of manufacturing experience. So we have that part down pat. We're also avid bow hunters, and it makes it easy to design new and cool products when you're intimate with wanting to go out and do the hunting yourself as well. So it makes it easy to come up with the designs.
And speaking of designs, you guys really specialize in unique and differentiated products. We know product design and development is really one of the competitive advantages at NAP. Tell us a little bit how the products are designed and developed.
Sure. We come up with our ideas from a variety of different places. Okay, we'll take feedback from the large accounts that we have. We know what competitive products might be selling. We take a look at those, and we do a really good job improving and adding features that customers really would like to see. A lot of the ideas come internally, again, from being avid bow hunters and in the field. Others come from good ideas that we hear from friends and wish list of products, of ideas that people have out there. That really makes it easy to design those type of products. We do it with CAD modeling, like a lot of people do. So we can belt out our products that way. We have a small rapid prototyping machine, so it's very easy between a tool room, you know, and the rapid prototyping machine to get prototypes made, mocked up pretty quickly here to see if the concepts are actually holding water and working. Once we get to that point, we're ready to miniaturize and make a retail product real in a way. And then we're ready to go ahead and start sourcing this.
And do you get any of your information in terms of what your clients are looking for through social media channels or other non-traditional product development channels?
Yes, certainly. We have an employee that is monitoring social media. We work very closely with bowhunting.com and some other websites out there, and we're looking at the feedback information that we're getting on our products and other products as well to go ahead and generate some ideas. You know, majority of the ideas come from, you know, regular product update meetings that we have throughout the year. So we're constantly bringing in new ideas from the outside, from non-traditional social media ways, as well as just ideas that we may have around here.
Yeah, and that's great feedback, being able to hear what your customers are saying and do it in a non-threatening, non-invasive way, and social media really provides that outlet.
Yes, it does.
On the manufacturing side, does Snap manufacture all of its products, or do you outsource manufacturing? How's the mix, more or less, for Snap?
We don't do any primary manufacturing at the facility. We outsource pretty much everything. Up until the last few years, everything we've produced has been domestic. We benefited from being located in the Midwest with a large manufacturing base around us, so we're able to source parts locally or within a state or two, which made it very easy and quick turnarounds on prototypes and such like that. I'd say over the last 6 or 7 years, we have been sourcing overseas, and that's worked out extremely well for us, and as time goes on, we definitely see more and more overseas sourcing for a variety of different reasons.
And many of your products you're starting to source now from China, which in the past, as we know, there have been, in general, people have had concerns about China quality, and China's come a long way in terms of moving up the quality scale and being able to produce good product. Based on what you're sourcing from China, tell us a little bit about your experience, how long you've been buying from China, how you've managed it, and so on.
We've been, again, slowly going more and more towards China. We've been doing it for about 6 or 7 years. It's only been the last 2 or 3 years that we've really been focusing heavily on sourcing pretty much everything, all new products overseas. That the cost pressures associated with the accessory market, like a lot of markets out there, a lot of industries, is fierce. And sourcing overseas is a way, you know, to keep costs under control and be able to provide, you know, a high quality product. You're right. The quality has gone up over the years, and the quality is quite good. You know, after the growing pains that you have of getting a few samples built and getting things dialed in right, everything is pretty smooth after that point.
Yeah, and I mentioned at the beginning, at the outset, some of the challenges and these operational gaps are very difficult to bridge just because of the natural barriers that are there, the distance between the United States, and you're closer than we are, in China, and then you have cultural and language barriers and just the time zones as well, make it all very, very difficult. So tell me a little bit, Chris, about the challenges you've had in managing production in China from the United States.
Well, I can tell you the challenges, as years go on, are getting less and less. Okay, that there was and there can be, depending on where you source, there can be obviously the language barrier. That isn't an issue, you know, working with Cirrus because of having, you know, a gentleman in your company that is English-speaking, and it's very, very easy to communicate technical and highly specific engineering information overseas. That issue has gone away for us. We no longer have a language barrier that we really have to go to. The other challenge, again, that has been solved quite nicely is just the general quickness of the communication. Email makes it easy. You don't have to wait 3 or 4 days to get an information back on, you know, on questions that an overseas vendor may have on your particular product. The information's there the next morning. You answer it, and those barriers are now a thing of the past.
Yeah. And the types of products that you think, generally speaking, are more competitive in China versus elsewhere, is there a rule or rhyme or reason to what you would say based on the products that New Archery is selling? These are the sort of items that we look to source from low labor cost environments, places like China, versus other products which might be more difficult to source there?
Yes, there's certainly a nice sweet spot. It's labor intensive assemblies. Okay, they can be complicated, and they can be some time consuming in having to construct and test and assemble something properly. Those are the type of products that fit very, very well overseas. And they can get, again, because of the quality and the tolerances on the parts have been getting tighter and tighter, you do have a good possibility of sending tight tolerance parts and assemblies overseas and getting a high quality part or assembly back. I think that there's give and take on designs to go ahead and sometimes make something a little more flexible or make an adjustment on a design to accommodate a particular manufacturing process that may be overseas, but once you're past those parts, it's smooth sailing.
Yeah. In dealing with manufacturers, you have a lot of experience in dealing with manufacturers not only in the United States but elsewhere. If you're doing CAD drawings and prototypes in the U.S., and you then need to deliver that to a manufacturer. You mentioned a minute ago the benefit of having someone who's an English speaker and can translate that stuff for you seamlessly. But what has been your experience in terms of communicating all of the key standards and sort of critical spec that you need to make sure are met by your manufacturers when dealing with Chinese factories?
What I try to do when I'm sourcing something overseas is I try to give them as much information as I can. Okay, it isn't just CAD drawings and three-dimensional models that you need to send. You need to be quite specific about what areas in the models or the assembly are critical, what things to look out for. So what I like to do, if at all possible, is send other supporting documents or photos or sketches along with the product. I could say, I need this joint right here to be waterproof, or I need a test on this joint to make sure that these two parts are fastened correctly all the time, perfectly together. Any kind of additional supplementary information beyond the CAD drawing is critical to get those first prototypes done right the first time, and also try to communicate the clear understanding of what this product's supposed to do. There are times where I can send, you know, if this is an accessory for a bow, for example, I can send a portion of a bow over that it fits on, and it gives someone a good understanding, okay, this is what this product's used for. It isn't just an item, you know, a widget that I'm making, but this is the use for it, which someone overseas may not know what the use is. So being able to communicate on a technical level of what the actual usage is helps out a lot. Back to the CAD drawings for a moment. The CAD drawings and the three-dimensional information is critical as well. The drawings need to be you know, documented properly with current engineering standards and geometric dimensioning if possible. Geometric dimensioning, again, is a good engineering speak on the prints that anyone around the world can understand, even if they speak a different language. So by being clear and precise on your prints, that also alleviates a lot of issues when you're building these things.
Absolutely. And you mentioned something that's a really important point. It's, you know, keeping your standards high is critically important in China. So often we see people who over time really let their expectations fall, and they start, I think generally people like to inherently feel good about their decisions, and the decisions from China is no different. So if happiness is anything that people are looking for, you know, and in part from obtaining results that are above expectations, then you would think that people naturally aim low when they source from China because they don't want to be disappointed. And aiming low can get you into trouble. It can be a self-fulfilling prophecy, and you end up getting not providing the sort of standards that you were referring to and all the critical information and expecting that things come back perfect. What's been your experience with Certus and working with us, and more importantly, I think, in having a trusted partner on the ground in China, the boots on the ground? How has that helped NAP reach your strategic goals?
Certus has been paramount, and it's become invaluable to NAP and to NAP's growth in the future. Okay, to have a single source that can help me develop and source a variety of different products. We're doing battery-operated products. We're doing mechanical assemblies. We're doing plastic injection molding. To be able to have one source to go to for a variety of different types of products is amazing. We're still a fairly small company We don't have the staff here to go and quote all over the universe trying to find somebody who can make this stuff. But by going to Certus, I know that the products are going to be made right. The pricing is aggressive, and the communication is five stars. To be part of what makes Certus stand out is the ability to communicate information back on where a product is or where a project's going extremely quick. It's unbelievably helpful in trying to manage all the other things that you may be doing in a day, and you have three projects overseas, that to have that information flowing in regularly is quite nice. The technical information is transferred very well. Again, having an English-speaking person that resides in China that's also technically versed is amazing. It works out very well. Certainly, we'll be going to China for a visit one of these days, but it's not as necessary as it was in years past. There are some friendly competitors and companies I know in my industry. They may be in China five or six times a year, actually launching the production lines, rolling their sleeves up, and being at factories trying to get things done right. That has not been our experience with Certus. I've been able to send over models, plastic models, CAD drawings, and communicate solely on phone and mainly on email, and get the products shipped back here with very few surprises once they show up.
That's great. Thank you, Chris. You know, one of the things we've come across recently is obviously there's a lot of talk about 3D printers, and there's a lot of talk in the market that 3D printers are going to displace China and manufacturing there and the competitiveness, and that in the future, the $400 billion I mentioned at the beginning of the program of the imports from China into the United States is going to be a fraction of that, because 3D printing will basically displace low-cost manufacturing countries throughout the world. What have you seen with respect to 3D printers, and what's your read on that?
Well, first off, I don't agree that that's imminent or that's going to happen. One of the things that 3D printers, they are advancing in the quality and the complexity of the parts they can do. The issue is going to be speed of making parts. I doubt highly that 3D printers are ever going to produce, let's say, screw machine type of parts, you know, at 750 pieces an hour or whatever it might be. You may make, you know, 60 pieces a day. For low quantity, that may be okay, but not for low cost on longer running jobs, which is most of the reason people are going to China in the first place. I use a 3D printer right now in plastic, and it's been an unbelievable tool to help design products and to help communicate ideas, even in plastic, and sending the actual models over to China to have them look at. That's been an invaluable source. The technology certainly isn't there yet to do metal in any real high precision way, although there are some inroads that are happening right now. But again, it's going to be expensive, and it's going to be slow, and I think that's really where those are the two fronts that China really excels at.
Absolutely, and that gives us all a little bit more job security for at least a few more years.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much, Chris. This has been incredibly insightful, and we really appreciate your comments, not only about what's going on at NAP and some of the things you're doing there. Tell us, just to finish up here, what can we expect from NAP in the next season? What are some of the things you're working on?
We're certainly working on our 2015 product line right now. I can't talk too much about them, but we have some game-changing opportunities out there in the market that we're going to participate at. Again, we're also going to be expanding our existing product lines that are doing well, adding new models and new features to them, and that's certainly something that Certus is going to be participating in.
Well, we look forward to that. Chris, thank you again so much. Again, Chris Kozlik, who is the Head of Engineering and Product Development from New Archery Products. Join us on our next podcast. We look forward to having you there with us. Again, Chris, have a great day. Thank you very much.
Thank you.